Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Jude, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
We put your issue to Éireann Road Éireann, Irish Rail.
Okay.
The issue you raised. And basically they're saying, and bear with me on this, basically they're saying you're being unreasonable. They're not using the word curmudgeon, but they're getting there. They say, by any definition, one 2-minute performance of a train-related song performed by a National Award-winning choir on their return journey from the Cork Choral Festival does not constitute antisocial behaviour, and indeed was warmly applauded by the customers who shared the carriage with the group. We were delighted, Irish Rail said, to receive the video, and they retweeted it. And the response to it and the engagement with it from customers and social media followers are most reasonable people would agree. They're saying you're unreasonable. Do you want to state your point, Jude, please?
Yes. So I think that Irish Rail is being quite unreasonable here because I wonder how often they're on the train. So there are many commuters who are on the train a few hours a day, a few hours in the morning, a few hours in the evening. That's our life. We get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to commute.
Okay. That's your
this
walk
life. This is how
life.
We live.
Yeah.
Exactly. There are lots of people forced out of Dublin with housing crisis. Being on the train a few hours a day, 5 days a week, is our life. Mm-hmm. So there's always a group singing, drunk stag parties, drunk hen parties. There's always someone who's problematic and disturbing the peace of the carriage that you're in. There's never any staff on the train to ask people to be quiet, to tell mm-hmm. people that they must be quiet. So if you want to work, which many of us need to do because it's part of our working day, if you need to rest, if you're on your way to the hospital or on the way home from the hospital and you're feeling terrible, it's not nice to be in a carriage with people who feel like they're so important that they should inflict their desires, their wishes, their noise on everybody else in the carriage who's trying to be quiet and polite and let everyone else get on with their day.
And at any stage, did the group who sang, there was quite a few of them, I see, from the video that Irish Rail tweeted. Did any of them stand up and say, does anyone mind if we sing?
I don't know. I wasn't in that carriage. But I think that wouldn't be reasonable anyway, because if people feel intimidated by a group, if there were lots of individuals on that train, how many people would feel safe to stand up and say, actually, yes, I do have an issue with that. I need to work, or I've got a headache or whatever. Who's going to feel safe to do that in a big group environment like that? I don't think anybody really will.
But Irish Rail say, this is not antisocial behaviour. It is singing on a train. Singing on a train is banned, isn't that your point? But it's not.
Yes, it is.
But it's not policed.
Exactly. In fact, they've introduced the notion, due to so many customer complaints on several of their trains, that alcohol is now banned on several of the trains.
I know that, yeah.
Because it was such a huge problem. However, on those trains, and I'm on them all the time, people get on at Euston Station with sports bags full of beer cans and they start drinking in the station. It's not policed. Nobody's doing anything about it. If you're going all the way from Dublin to Galway and they start drinking at Euston, you can imagine what it's like by the time you get to Galway. It's absolute torture for people who are just trying to go to work. It's notionally banned, yes. I don't see the difference between a group of drunks singing on the train, which Irish Rail agrees is not acceptable, even though they do nothing about it, and a choir. It's all still disturbing the other people.
Yeah, but a choir, and especially there were the Mornington Singers, an award-winning choir.
I don't care if they can sing in tune or not. It's still disturbing everyone else.
Yeah, Jude, hang on, you said you weren't even in that carriage. How could you hear them?
I saw it on Twitter, and my point was that I was disgusted that Irish Rail were encouraging people, big groups of people, to disturb other people on the train, because this impacts me. If they allow this and encourage this all over social media, why should the next hen party or the next stag party not think, oh, it's okay, Irish Rail really likes people to sing. Let's all have a big boozy sing-along.
Irish Rail tweeted, it's a bank holiday treat for the 1425 Cork to Euston customers yesterday, as Ireland's Choir of the Year with conductor Flann Agogo. That's his Twitter. This is what they were singing. You're not singing along, Jude.
I didn't know you wanted me to.
No. Tommy,
this is symptomatic.
Okay, stay there. I take your point because we get a lot of issues about Irish Rail, and people generally are unhappy with the response and the absence of policing. And when they go to get their seats, which have their names above them, there's no one to remove the people that are in the wrong seats.
Yes, it's a constant. Just happened to me an hour ago.
Oh, did it? Yeah. What happened?
Yeah. Well, you get on the train at Houston Station. They haven't managed to turn on the button that shows the seat reservation. So everybody gets on the train and sits in all whatever seats because they're not marked as reserved. And then all the people get on with the reserved seats and then the chaos starts. This is, I would say, 70% of the time this happens.
OK, let me bring in Tommy. Tommy, good afternoon.
Hello?
Are you there? Tommy, yes. Your point,
yes,
please.
Tommy.
Tommy. Yes, Tommy. You knew you were coming on, Tommy, didn't you?
But Tommy, yeah, thank you. Tommy, I feel that last lady there, right? Not the situation. So, I cycled down to the pub on Wednesday night, right?
Okay.
And I investigated this baby and cycled home 3 hours later.
Right.
But the last 2 years now, Tommy, in the pub, they've formed a ukulele outfit.
A ukulele outfit. They're everywhere, yeah. Yes.
But this now, but these are brutally bad, you know. And it's worth their getting every Wednesday night. And the more they practice, they're losing the plot.
In what way has it gone to their head, like?
Well, it has, yes, big time. But last Wednesday night they did the Rolling Stones song, the painted black,
right.
And they painted five times in a row, and oh Jesus, it's Christ. They weren't happy with that.
And Tommy, are you saying they're using the pub as their rehearsal studio?
Well, they buy drinks and they have tea and coffee and they put their utter uses.
And how many of them are there, Tommy?
Could be 3 dozen maybe or more.
24 or 30?
3 dozen is...
3 dozen is 36.
Is it? Oh, yeah, 36. Yeah. But it's a sad situation to be part of. I mean, the thing is that the publican himself, his wife, is in the group, right?
Okay.
And his sister. So, he's a sensitive man, and you know, we can't object. But we'll all have to go to the bar for the paid accordions.
Ah, Tommy, are you for real? This is true in the pub. There's ukulele one end, and then when you try and flee the ukulele, you end up in the arms of an accordionist.
No, that's the pub down the road.
I don't know, it's at the other pub.
Yeah.
And Tommy, what do you want in the pub of a Wednesday night when you go there and when you cycle there?
I want peace and quiet.
And to have your pint or whatever and the chat.
My glass of Guinness, yeah, and read the paper.
And can you talk above the ukulele? Ukulele's plural.
You must be joking. You can't hear yourself think. And now they're talking about getting amplification and a drum kit. And a bass player. I don't know.
Do you recognise that instrument, Tommy? Now, these are professionals here in the background.
Give me
a... What's the piece? Send me what's the name of the piece. Is it What's a Wonderful World? No, It's a Wonderful World. Okay, Tommy, are they louder than that?
Oh, God, yeah.
Are they louder than this?
Yes. A bit louder. Yes, maybe, yes.
So you couldn't really talk over it, could you, Tommy?
You'd have to shout.
Yes. And if you wanted to talk about the latest bit of gossip in the town, you couldn't be heard, Tommy.
Oh, you'd have to shout the gossip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't want to give us the name of the pub or the town, no?
Oh, God, it's a witness protection programme, if I did.
It'd be what, Tommy?
I mean, the witness protection programme.
The ukulele witness protection programme. Stop it. What is that? That's more. This is coming to things. Okay, stay there, Tommy.
Okay.
Tommy, is there any music you do? And I'm not saying you have to like me, but you go for peace and quiet, but would you be happy with any music in the pub?
Maybe a cello.
What a beautiful instrument.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay, a cello.
I might take up the cello myself and, you know, and practice there.
Stay there, Tommy.
I'll see how they like it.
And have you raised any objections? Or, you know, you're afraid you'd have to go into the witness protection program.
Yeah,
Hazel Farrell, 51551, Hazel.
Hiya, Joe. How are you?
What do you think of Jude? Now, Jude's point, in fairness, now, Ian Rode Éireann have been quite snotty now in their reply to Jude, and they're saying she's being unreasonable, and by any definition, choir singing on a train is not an issue and couldn't be described as antisocial. But Jude's point is that there should be a blanket. It's so bad on trains generally that there should be, you see signs in pubs, no singing whatsoever, even if you're Count John McCormack. You've seen those signs. So what's your point, please, Hazel?
Well, do you know what? I just think that there needs to be a bit of a distinction between, you know, what constitutes antisocial behaviour, because I absolutely agree with you in that I would be terribly frustrated and terribly unhappy if there was all of, you know, the drunken singing and the falling around the place and the hen party, which is entirely inappropriate. But there has to be some distinction between sort of quality and something that's actually just, you know, definitely antisocial. I mean, these guys, I think it was a treat, as Ian Rode Éireann described it.
Yeah.
You know, these are award-winning musicians. And I think in our everyday lives, you know, the mundanity sometimes, you know, of this big long train journey, you know, isn't a little bit of escapism, isn't it therapeutic, you know, to actually have that little, you know, moment of, you know, something special, you know, that we can actually just enjoy it and sort of celebrate that moment. And actually to celebrate these amazing musicians, you know, so I just feel a little distinction there would be great, but I do feel Jude's frustration there. Do you know? And I fully
do you agree with Ian Rode Éireann, who wouldn't come on the program, by the way? But they say that she's being unreasonable.
I sort of do agree that it is unreasonable. I do know. I know I'm sort of, because I appreciate everything that Jude is saying there, but I do agree it's unreasonable.
Okay, well,
it was a little 2-minute performance and it was an award-winning choir. They're obviously delighted at their achievements and they wanted to share it. And I don't know any of the singers, but I can I could practically guarantee you that they had no intention of putting in on anybody or making anybody feel bad about this, that they just wanted to share something.
But in fairness to Jude, and correct me, Jude's issue is not necessarily with the singing, but the fact that Ian Rode Éireann are hyping this and saying this is absolutely wonderful. It's a treat. It's a treat. And Jude is saying, hang on, will this encourage other fellas who think, this group, can sing. Will this encourage another crowd of bowsies, to launch into song and say, sure, Ian Rode Éireann might put us up on Twitter. Jude, do you want to respond to Hazel's point about it's a lift from the mundanity of life and it's therapeutic almost?
I agree that for some people it might be, but what needs to be taken into consideration is that it's not going to be for everybody, and this is a shared space, and we need to remember that it doesn't belong to the people who are singing, it doesn't belong to the people who might enjoy it, it belongs to everybody, including the people who need the space, the peace, the quiet, to work, to recover from illness if they're coming back from hospital. All of those things need to be considered, and I think that the best way forward is that everyone realises it's a shared space. Sit down, be quiet, read your book, put on your headphones, do whatever you need to do, and don't impose yourself on other people, ever.
But then there's no problem.
Hazel, yes.
But there may be other people there, Jude, I suppose, that might need that little lift, and that could have been the highlight of their whole day. And it's their space, too,
Say that if you want to hear a choir and if you find choirs uplifting, go to their concert and then everybody will be happy.
But that
train is a shared space.
That's special. It's a spontaneous moment that's special and that, you know, people could remember, and they wouldn't normally, like a lot of people wouldn't normally have the opportunity to hear a choir, and it could be something that, you know, they maybe really appreciated, and then that was the thing about their day that they remembered. You know, I think that maybe you're saying that we need to, you know, it is a shared space. I agree 100%. But there are little spontaneous things in our lives that make it a little bit more special, you know. Something just a little bit different.
If you're a regular commuter and you hear that starting off, the first thing you're going to be worrying about is how long is this going to go on?
And I think in this instance it was 2 minutes, if I'm correct.
But this particular instance is simply is symptomatic of what's going on the train. It's not about this particular 2 minutes. It's about the fact that Éireann Road Éireann are encouraging people to disturb mm-hmm. others. That's what they're doing. They're actually saying, it's good if you're a group of 10 people, get on the train. I don't know how many seats there are in a carriage, perhaps 60. And the other 50 mm-hmm. people will just have to put up with you because we think it's groovy that other people want to sing. Right, so there are another, say, 50 people in the carriage, and what they want or need is not being considered at all by Irish Rail. They're expected to share the same taste as the person who is tweeting for Irish Rail, and I find that completely unreasonable.
I don't know who I was reading recently. Was it Carl Henry about wellness and my? He does physical stuff, but about wellness and mindfulness. And he had something, you know, 10 suggestions for a better life. One of them was, Jude, join a choir.
Yeah. And that's great for the people who want to join a choir and let them. I'm glad that they do. I don't disagree with any of that. But public transport is not the place to share your hobby with everyone else who doesn't like your hobby.
And if Bono, Adam, Larry and The Edge were on a train and Bono took out his harmonica and The Edge took out his guitar and...
I'd say the same. Larry, I don't want to hear that. Oh, I don't want to hear it. I'd go to their concert if I wanted to hear it. And I think that's the point here. Why should anyone?
Anya, okay, Jude, 51551. Anya, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you doing?
You were in a choir all your life.
All my life.
Great. So you'd be happy with the treat on, as Éireann Road Éireann call it, when the morning.
I certainly would not.
Oh, sorry.
Oh no, I said no. I texted in.
Why
your
not?
Worst nightmare.
Why not?
Because I take the train, Joe, and I don't go on the train to hear choirs. I go to the concert hall to hear them in concert. I go to their shows. I book my tickets. The train is not a place to hear a choir. And the most important point, mm-hmm. One of the points about this, is some people don't like music, Joe. And they're quite entitled to that. They want, if you want to hear your music, put on your earphones. Listen to your Spotify.
Oh, there's nothing like live music.
Not on the train, Joe. Come on, are they going to start it on the buses and in the taxis and all around the place as well?
Well, if you were on the 78 or the 79 bus every Saturday night back home to Ballyfermot, it was a great sing song. One fella take out a set of bones. And people used to go up the stairs to listen to him.
Joe, I love a sing song, but a train and a choir, no thanks.
Even though you're in a choir?
I was in a choir for years.
Did you ever sing in a public location without asking first?
Oh, of course I did. Of course I sang in public.
Without being invited. Without being invited to sing, if you know what I mean. Because part of Jude's complaint, apart from Irish Rail bigging this up, part of Jude's complaint is that she doesn't even know if someone stood up in the carriage and said, is it okay if we sing?
Well, my point is, I don't know what happened in that carriage. I wasn't on it. But I know that if I was on the train to Cork to visit my cousin that I do regularly, I can tell you one thing. The last thing I want to hear is a choir in my ear. I absolutely agree with her. There's a time and a place for everything. If you want to hear the choir, go down to the church on Sunday. If you want to go to the concerts, go to the shows, go to the competitions. That's what we did. I don't agree with opening up on trains. No.
Okay, thanks, Anya. Rebecca.
No problem.
51551, Rebecca. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, hello there. Hi.
Now, you had an incident on a train, you told Damien about a few weeks ago. What happened to you on a train and how has it been dealt with?
Well, I was on a train there on the 13th of April and my luggage, along with a few other members of travellers, people that were travelling on the train, their luggage was also stolen. And we're nearly a month now and they know who they are, apparently, but they can't be caught.
Well, has Éireann Road Éireann come back to you?
Well, I sent in a complaint and they just gave me a very bland answer, as I explained at the time, saying that there was no need for online sales tickets now, so that there would be nobody on the trains as there was before or at the stations. So apart from that, no, I've had nothing back.
You haven't had your bag back? You haven't had your belongings back?
No, absolutely nothing. I've been in touch with the guard that was dealing with it and... no sign of anybody's bag. The bags are gone and they seem to know who these people, but they can't be caught for some reason. I don't know why.
And do you take Jude's point? I don't know. Are you a regular train
Yes, I would be. Travel on the train quite a fair bit, yeah.
And what do you think of Jude's point that forever there are issues on the train in terms of people in your seat or antisocial behaviour, and she doesn't see any policing of it?
Yeah, well, I have to agree with her on that. There's absolutely no control on the trains. I've seen the train, especially the one from Dublin to Sligo, in decline and decline and decline. And while that quiet would not bother me in any way, it's just a one-off thing. But in general, I can see her point. If one comes on it and does it, the rest will do it. I've often seen people who've literally put on their telephones on loudspeaker and proceeded to listen to the afternoon shows at full volume, or their children have their computers, they're playing games.
So it can be very noisy on the train.
It is quite noisy. And I mean, you have to think, there are people, as somebody said, they're maybe coming from hospitals, or people have had a bereavement or a death, and you want peace and quiet.
And Rebecca, is there any sign on the train saying, please, you know, you'd see it every, please, for the care and comfort of yourself and other passengers, please keep noise to a minimum, please keep your headphones, please wear headphones, or please keep them at a responsible volume. Is there any signs to that effect on the train?
Do you know, I've never actually noticed. I have noticed on the tram. The tram is fantastic. They have signs everywhere.
Tell me what's on the Lewis, yeah.
the Lewis. They have everything. The Lewis have signs up everywhere. They've made it very, very clear.
And what do they say? No dogs?
I think there's no dogs. You have to respect people around you. Headphones. No playing music. They make it very clear you're not to intrude on other people's privacy.
Okay. Stay there. 51551 joe@rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Neil O'Mallon, 51551. Jude contacted us. She's a regular commuter on Irish Rail, and she saw Irish Rail promoting this video of a choir breaking into song on the train, saying how wonderful it was. And Jude's point was that, in her view, trains are out of control with singing and antisocial behaviour, and Irish Rail should not be promoting this in any shape or form. Newly, you travel as they do in the Netherlands, which is an enormously intensive rail network.
That's right, yeah, that's right, Joe. And the solution is simple, and it's in the power of Éireann Road Air, and you simply designate quiet carriages for people who want to work, who don't want to talk, and who don't want people around them breaking into song. So, I mean, I've experienced it. I've heard people answer their phones and say, hang on a minute, I need to step outside to take this call because I'm in the quiet carriage.
Step outside a moving train?
Step outside the carriage.
Oh, the carriage, sorry. Sorry, Neil. It's Friday. Okay, so that's the deal. That's the agreement. If you go into that particular carriage, you can take the call, but you must go back into the corridor or whatever to take it.
To take it, yeah. And I think people greet each other, you know, meet a friend on that carriage and say, let's move somewhere else so we can chat.
Okay.
So,
but Nuala, how is it policed?
Well, or is it there's transport police.
Yeah, but the Dutch are very self-policing anyway, aren't they?
The Dutch are very self-policing.
They will check each other. If you try and walk across a red pedestrian light, they will pull you back.
That's true. They are very self-policing.
Yeah.
But I think
in Ireland, if someone heads out across a red pedestrian light, there is a Croke Park comes behind them. Thousands of people. We've no regard, sure we haven't in that sense. That's what people love about us, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I think we're more careful with other people, you know.
So, Nuala, what do you think of Jude's point, which is Éireann Road Air promoting this as a treat? And on the other hand, she has difficulties. How would you react if a choir erupted into song out of the blue in your carriage?
Well, I would have enjoyed it, but I absolutely accept that there are people who wouldn't. And I think the solution is simple, and I don't think that Jude is being unreasonable. Mm-hmm. I think simply there are always two sides to every story. And if someone, you know, wanted to be in a quiet space, Éireann Road Air should provide it.
Éireann Road Air actually had quiet carriages and removed them all.
Oh, did they?
Yes, they removed them all a couple of years ago because too many people were making noise in them. So they decided to just not have them at all.
Well, it sounds like the carriages removed themselves. Quiet carriages became noisy, but it is Ireland.
Sorry?
It is Ireland. Like, very few people, apart from... I don't even think there's anyone... Who takes a vow of silence in Ireland? Apart from John Delaney. But who's taking a vow of silence in Ireland? And I'm being too facetious, Jude. I am, I suspect, by your
yes.
reaction. I'm sorry, apologies. Carmel Sheehan. Carmel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're listening to Jude. And by the way, she's very brave, I think, Jude, in fairness to you, making this point, because it is a nuanced point, and I want to help you make the nuanced point. Go ahead, Carmel.
Good afternoon, Joe. I just wanted to say that I went to the Cork Choral Festival last Sunday night, and I heard the Mornington singers perform, mm-hmm. and they were absolutely outstanding, Joe. They were the best choir on the night.
Well, they won.
They won, yeah. Yeah. And they sang two songs on the night. Now, I can't remember the first song, but their singer was absolutely outstanding. And I remember the train song. It was such a lovely song, such a simple song, and it was just, I think music, when it sang so beautifully, it touches the soul. And if I had been on that train, I certainly would have enjoyed to hear them perform, as I did. I paid €21 to hear them perform in the City Hall. Yeah, that's it.
And you're saying they sing that as part of their repertoire, Carmel?
As far as I know, they sang that song on the night in Cork City Hall.
And it is an unaccompanied choir. It's a vocal choir.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Elaine, good afternoon. Thanks, Carmel. Elaine, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. Hi.
Good. Hi. How are you?
I was just in listening to you there, and I was interested because a few years ago I was in France and I booked my seat on the TGV.
Yeah.
And you could book a quiet carriage or a media carriage.
Could you book a Mornington choir carriage?
If you booked the quiet carriage, which I did,
okay.
you firstly, your seat was not occupied and your name was over your seat when you got on the train. But also, the quiet carriage was quiet. And in the other carriages, mm-hmm. you could, you know, use your laptop or...
And what did it call the other carriages?
I can't remember whether it was a media carriage. I'm not exactly sure. But a young man got on when I was on the train, and he got into the quiet carriage. And in the quiet carriage, people were reading, and he took out his laptop and put on, I don't know, YouTube or something. Yeah. And after a little while, the ticket collector came along and asked him very nicely to move to one of the other carriages, which the young man did, no problem, and everybody was happy. I just thought it was very interesting. But then in France, everything...
Yeah, okay.
Well, just in France, you know, things like public services, etc., you know, the rules are kept, things run on time, and they're implemented.
Look, Elaine, the rules are kept. Paris is burning every Saturday.
Yes, no, I'm talking about your buses on time and when you get on your train, your ticket... Your seat is booked and you're sure of it.
Okay. Thanks, Elaine. I'm going to go to Simon after this break. 51551 Joe at rt.ie.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at rt.ie. Simon, good afternoon. You heard Jude's point about Ian Rod Aaron describing a choir singing on the train as a treat, whereas Jude said they should just should be a ban on any singing, all singing on trains. Irish Rail should not be encouraging it because the anti-social singing is never police. Go ahead, Simon.
I prefer the choir was going to sing on the train. I prefer that 100% because you see people on the trains, they do their own thing, let them do their own thing. But mm-hmm. I was on a train heading back from Cork to Limerick, and there was a stag on the train. They were so loud I had to move on into a different carriage.
And loud in what way, Simon? A few more adjectives. Were they
laughing out loud, they were chatting out loud, they were drinking, they were having their own booze on board, you know,
Were they interfering with other passengers?
Well, I don't know about their suspective job, but unfortunately, I had to move on to a different carriage because they were so loud, I had to move.
And were you... fair enough. And Simon, were you afraid to them?
Well, I was going to say something
afraid
to
them. Afraid of them, sorry.
I was going to tell them all. I said, would you mind keeping noise down because there's other passengers on board, not you here on board. They need to turn down their volume a bit because I'm really annoyed about that now, about people so loud on the trains. Like, I travelled on trains 24/7, like up to Dublin from Carlow here, and we guess. Sometimes we get really bad people on board the train, so I move to a different carriage, or I will, when we stop onto another station, I go to the driver and tell the driver what's going on.
Which begs me to ask the question, Simon, is there any policing on the train of this stag party? Was there anyone you could go to, apart from having to wait until the train stopped, get off and walk up to the driver? Was there nobody on the train from Meath Road Éireann?
Well, there was no one on the train. There was a ticket inspector, but he wasn't like walking up and down and checking up on him. There was an inspector there, but he didn't even stop him to tell him off to keep the noise down a bit. There's other passengers on board.
Well, does anyone, maybe people could tell, is that the inspector's job? The inspector is to collect tickets, and he's a revenue official as such.
Well, he has a badge, Irish Rail tie and Irish Rail uniform. Like, he's entitled, like, because he's having a business to do, doing ticket inspecting and checking is people okay on board. Like,
okay. Well, like, see, I don't know if that's part of their remit. How would you chastise a stag party anyway, Simon? And many of them were in it.
Well, there's probably about 16, 20 maybe. They're on different seats. On the train.
Well, that'd be fairly hard to police, wouldn't it?
Well, I can try to tell them off, but I wouldn't even risk it.
Why not?
Because I might get it insulted, like, and get hit on the face or something, punch your head. Shut up, keep your nose out of my business, like.
Okay.
I don't want to interfere, like, I don't want to put any more fuel onto the wire, like, basically.
Yeah,
you get my point.
Yeah. Okay. And is that a common occurrence, the stag parties on trains, hens parties, people being...
Yeah, sometimes, Joe, but if people are drinking on board as well, it's even worse. Yeah. They're bringing cans on board, like, I can't stand them, like, absolutely can't even stand them.
Okay, Simon, safe travelling. As Simon Adams of Carlow. Denise Hanway. Denise, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Oh, the Irish making a show of us again, Denise. Hey, the whole, what happened?
So, it's about a year and a half ago, my friend and my husband and myself were travelling from Copenhagen to Sweden, a four-hour train journey. And my friend told a joke, and we burst out laughing. And the next thing, over the intercom came, "You Irish, stop laughing."
Halt! You Irish!
Yeah, stop laughing.
Are you serious?
I was the only Irish one there because my husband is American and my friend is English.
And how did Big Brother on the intercom know one you were Irish?
I know, and it must have been my flat Longford accent.
Do you remember the joke?
Pardon?
Do you remember the joke?
I don't, but that made us laugh even more. And I looked around at everybody and the other people were real serious. They were all.
And when you say you're travelling from Copenhagen to Sweden, you're going across that magnificent new bridge, I presume.
Yes.
Okay. That, were you in Sweden or were you in Denmark?
I don't know, because we were laughing so much. I don't know.
And maybe it was only a joke, was it? You Irish, stop laughing.
He was so serious. We looked at each other first with our mouths hanging open.
And had you been checked by other? Had any other passenger thrown their eyes up to heaven?
Nobody did anything. But we must have been watched.
And did you behave yourselves?
Yeah, we were very good. We were actually reading books and we were talking among ourselves, and the next thing my friend told a joke.
No, but afterwards when you were chastised.
Well, when we were chastised we just laughed like more. But great, then we stopped. Great. We couldn't believe it. Like,
yeah, here, that's crazy.
It was just crazy, you know. You Irish, stop laughing.
It's the story of our lives. Angela Merkel thinks we're working.
Go on, I've got to hear, Jeffy.
Yeah, off you go, Denise. 51551, Judah's still with us, Tommy is still with us, and Declan is with us, 51551.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Declan Callis, who you know from Funny Friday, last Friday. Declan, you want to defend ukulele. You are a ukulele player.
Well, one of many, Joe, around the country, I have
well,
to
one
say.
Of, one of too many, according to Tommy. It has exploded, well, has it?
It has indeed. I mean, people thought, like everything else, this was going to be a short-lived fad.
Yeah.
But no, the ukulele is growing. It's there are quite a number of groups, of which I'm a member of two of them myself, right around the country, a lot in the Dublin area. And the thing about the ukulele is you don't have to be, a professional musician. You don't have to have a huge musical wealth of knowledge behind you. Yeah. You pick it up. If you have two or three chords, you can happily play away. And I think the key to it is, Joe, happiness. Mm. You can happily play away. It's a happy instrument. It may not make your audience mightn't be, depending on the audience, they mightn't share your happiness. Obviously, you have to be considerate, There's a time and place for everything. But by and large, people certainly welcome the ukulele. It's best played in a group where you can kind of share the happiness and share the music. But like everything else, you've got to use a bit of common sense. You're not going to start banging away out of tune ukuleles, in inappropriate areas, But certainly...
let me put that. Tommy, you have to... You should share the happiness, Tommy.
On board. On board. Hello?
Yes, Tommy, go ahead.
Yep.
Share the happiness.
Well, in private.
Okay, Declan, where do you rehearse?
We rehearse. Well, I'm a member of the Rathfarnham Ukulele Group, or RUGS, and we rehearse in the Educate Together School there in Rathfarnham.
Okay, would you rehearse in a pub?
We wouldn't rehearse in a pub. No, I mean, you certainly wouldn't rehearse in a public area. I mean, we would. The rehearsals lead to one thing. They lead to a certain level of confidence in playing, and we've done a lot of. We've done a lot of gigs around the place, and we've been very well received. And indeed, tonight we will be getting up at the small hours of the morning to take part in the
Darkness into Light.
Darkness into Light.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant.
Quarter to four, and we bring the joy, we bring the happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But like that, I don't think we've ever played where we've been shunned or told to stop or shut up. We plan in advance. Okay. We know our audience. And yeah, I'm very, very happy to defend the ukulele, and will do so quite readily.
Okay, and what do you think? But I think you're part of you there, Declan, is agreeing with you that you wouldn't perform where you don't request permission beforehand.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I couldn't see a scenario where you'd actually be in a public area, rehearsing or practicing. It's something, as I say. I'm lucky in the sense that I play with people who are quite competent. We do well. We've been around for a long, long time.
But Declan, by your own admission, you don't need. Were you auditioned before you joined the ukulele band?
No, I mean we started quite small, quite a small group, and we grew. The large group, the Dublin Ukulele Collective, of which I'm a member, and we've played at Electric Picnic several years now. High-profile gigs. That group, you need to know your stuff when you're in that group. You need to be able to play at a certain level.
Has anyone ever been asked to leave the ukulele group? Because this is Tommy's point. There's 35, 36 of them in his pub every Wednesday night. I think it's somewhere up in Roscommon. And he says he goes down to the pub for a quiet night, a quiet pint, and the place is drowned out by this ukulele music.
No, well, I think we've never been asked to leave. As I say, normally that there would be a segregated area for the groups to rehearse in pubs and public areas. I mean, sitting down in a general bar area mightn't be the ideal. I know there's a group on Tuesday, the Ukulele Tuesdays. They play every Tuesday in the Stag's Head, and they have a room upstairs, and people are more than welcome to come in, and they do, and they join in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me bring in John Hoey. John, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. You're in a choir.
I'm in the Dublin Welsh Male Voice Choir.
Fantastic.
And we have sang on several occasions.
Right.
Going across the Wales.
And is this spontaneous or organised?
Well, we travel with Stena.
Yeah.
And then we go over to different concerts and things like that. And then we also, in August, 4 years ago, we sang in Cardiff Arms Park for the warm-up match with Wales and Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been asked to sing on the ferry as we go over.
Okay.
By Stena. And it's like a sponsorship thing, you know. So we travel on occasions free with them, you know. So.
And the reaction, as you say, is very positive.
The reaction is very positive. From we get groups of people. We'd be maybe sing five or six pieces, and then we'd stop and we'd maybe sing, maybe in half an hour again, sing another, and then we'd finish up with a third piece. You know.
Okay. Now, in fairness, I think Jude's point is like on a ship, you've enormous space, you've enormous options.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's like we all enjoy our singing anyway, you know. And a lot more people should be singing. Okay.
And John, have you any song in your repertoire that might wish Leinster well tomorrow?
Well, we sing for Leinster. There's no particular song.
I know there isn't.
We do sing in Molly Malone.
Well, off you go. You're in your grand.
Get
deep breaths through your nose. Off you go. Do you want the key? This is for Leinster tomorrow in Newcastle, yep. Lads. Go ahead, Jude.
Right.
And Jude, you're still there. Let you speak.
Fair city, where the girls are so pretty, I first set my eyes on sweet Molly Malone. As she wheels her wheelbarrow through street broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh.
Well done, John. That's spontaneous. Jude,
that might be a bit out of...
No, you're fine. You're fine. You're fine. I know that. That was spontaneous. At the end of the debate, do you still hold the position that Inroad Éireann should not be encouraging people to sing on the trains?
Yes, and I hope that they're listening, because there seems to be a general consensus from most, if not all, of the callers that this was bang out of order.
Jude, I think it'd be 50-50 now.
I don't think so. You might want to listen back, but we shan't argue about it. Even if it were 50-50, that's 50% of people who don't want to hear it.
Okay, I appreciate your call. You know that. Thanks indeed. And thanks to all our callers. Caro Harris on sound, Laura Lee Davis, the PCO, Richard Byrne is the researcher, Tara Lockery Grant, producer, and Ray Darcy is next.